It's time now for a little tangent with Leanna Tan on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
It's great being here just with you. A little tangent is where I just speak what's on my mind, maybe give you some tips and tricks that have been on my mind over the week. And since we're talking about everlasting love, I wanted to talk about a few tips that I have learned, some pieces of advice that I've learned to strengthen relationships all around, whether it's from my own marriage and relationships or from other people that I've seen that I admire and how they work their relationships and manage them and have seen success. And so I'm just going to jump in right here because I know relationships can be hard. We all face different things, different challenges, but it's doable. Sometimes it feels like it's not, that it's so difficult. And sometimes around Valentine's Day, it can be happy for people and it can be really sad for others, whether it's heartbreak, loss, or just struggles in their current relationships. So I hope this can give you some hope. And I think some things that I've learned are, first of all, write a gratitude list. Be grateful. I think gratitude goes a long way. I did this for a group of people I was with. This had nothing to do with a romantic relationship, but I was with a group of people living with them for several weeks. And what I did was every day when I saw somebody do something good, I would write it down on a list. And when things got tense and there were some people that were having a hard time, what I did was I pulled out that list and I gave it to them. And I would say, these are all the things that I've noticed. And I feel like it was so genuine to them that they hadn't asked for it. It wasn't solicited or anything. It was me noticing these little things they did, and it made a huge difference. And I've tried to carry that on in my marriage as well, to notice the small things, because it is all about the small things. I notice when my husband plugs in my phone at night, when he grabs my charger or gets me a drink of water, puts a blanket on my bed, or just the small things make a huge difference. And so I think being grateful for those makes people feel like they're recognized. And along with that, do things out of love and not obligation. I think that they're two very different things, but there is a fine line between those. And I don't love having you do this, I do this, and sometimes that works out for different couples. But to me, we're a team. And I think if you are doing chores or whatever it be, because you love the other person and you have that in mind, you want to serve them, and it's because I want to make their life better, you are more happy to do it, you're more motivated to do it, and you don't do it with any expectations. When it's out of obligation, you're always going to resent doing it. You're always going to hate, you're not going to look forward to doing it. And I think often we hate being put in these boxes, whether it be, oh, because I am the man in the relationship, I have to do this, and whether I'm the woman in the relationship, I have to do this. We resent those boxes as well. We want to feel like we are doing something because we're serving the other person, not because I have to, and it won't get done if I don't do it. The third thing I've learned is that it's okay to have silence. I think I used to be scared of that, and I was like, oh, what's wrong with me? I can literally drive for several hours. I mean, we take like 3 hour drives often, and most of it will be me being quiet and just lost in my own thought. And then part of me was like, oh no, is it because we don't have a good relationship? I can't talk. But then I realized it's because I just enjoy his company and I don't have to be talking, and I can feel comfortable in my own thoughts and I can feel relaxed around him, that we don't have to be talking every second. That doesn't mean that we don't have great conversations, but I think we don't need to fear that silence. And I think I also have a lot of FOMO, fear of missing out, wanting to go everywhere and be everywhere. But I've learned that there's a beauty in just being still and having silence. The fourth thing I have on this list is that change is a process. Now, when I was dating my husband, I will admit I did have a pros and cons list. Ugh, I don't want to admit that, but I did. There were not a whole lot of things on the cons list, but of course, anything on the cons list, you're like, I don't know. Could I get over that? Well, a lot of those things, just in the past few years we've been married, he's changed. And if I hadn't given him a shot then, I wouldn't have seen the great person he is now. He was already great then, but he's even better a person now because I was able to let it be a process and not expect perfection from the beginning. We will never be perfect, but I think one of the best qualities we can have in ourselves for our partner is that we can be willing to change. And I think we also need to have patience that our partners can change, but it will take time. Even the small things, picking up your socks from the floor, that can be done. That's not a deal breaker, but it's not necessarily going to happen overnight. You're like, oh, why not? It's so easy. Well, it takes time to create habits and it takes time to change a person. Don't expect them to change, but let them have the space and have the time if they are willing to. And the last quote I have here is actually the quote that my husband and I had for our wedding. I was very nervous to get married. I was nervous for the future. I get nervous whenever there's a big change or big event in my life. I just think, oh, what am I giving up? Am I going to be happy? What if this happens? What if that happens? And suddenly anxiety strikes. Well, I had a lot of that trying to commit to something. And I think a lot of people go through that nowadays. And so one day my friend was asking me, she's like, so what do you think about this guy? I mean, do you think things are going far? And I'm like, I don't know. It's scary. But I really think he's great, but I don't know about the future. Like, that's too much to think about. And I literally looked on the ground and there was a fortune, like a little piece of paper that had been dropped and it was in front of me. And it said, the future comes one day at a time. Now, I have taped that into a journal and I reflect on that all the time. We handed out things at our wedding that had that quote on it. And it comes back to me almost daily. And especially as of late with changes in my life coming, I get so nervous. That quote brings me such relief. The future comes one day at a time. It's not going to happen all at once. You don't have to worry about the world crashing down on you tomorrow. It's going to happen step by step. And that's how relationships work as well. The future of your relationship will come one day at a time. So if it's difficult now, it'll be a little bit easier tomorrow. It's not going to fix itself overnight. And on the other hand, it's not going to fail overnight. If you're worried that your marriage will come crashing down, it's not going to happen overnight. The future comes one day at a time. This has been so fun with you talking and chatting. Thank you for listening to my little tangent. I hope you take this week to really reflect on your own relationships and how you can strengthen them. None of us are too perfect for improvement. I'm your host, Leanna Tan. Catch you next time on Lifestyle.
Bringing more positivity to your day and bringing more positivity to your life. It's Lifestyle with Leanna Tan on KID News Radio 106.3 at 92.1.
Welcome to Lifestyle with Leanna Tan. I'm super excited to get this up and launching. We are nearing Valentine's Day, so I know relationships are on everybody's mind, and it's a great time to reflect on relationships and improve them. Everybody needs to improve them. So today what we're going to be talking about is communication and emotional connection, and I thought, who better to do that than a licensed mental health counselor himself? And actually, he's a good friend of mine. Today we're going to bring on Jake Pearson. So he, I can't even believe I'm saying this, but almost 10 years ago, he was a good mentor and teacher of mine. And so I know he's got some great advice that he can share with us today. So welcome, Jake.
Well, thank you so much, Leanna. This is awesome.
You have a lot of people that you can help, and I think you can give us some great advice today as well. Again, we're coming up on Valentine's Day, so relationship is on our minds, and we want to improve those. I think also with the pandemic, relationships have been hard because we crave them, but we also have everything's magnified. We see all the things that we need to improve because we're often stuck with these people in close proximity now, or we realize, oh, I never really had a relationship with that person because they're not reaching out and they don't seem to care that we can't talk or we can't meet up as much. So I think the pandemic has really highlighted some relational issues. So the main thing is communication. I think that's a big buzzword and we can dissect that all day. And I want to kind of just, even if we touch the surface of some of these issues, but you say one of the ways that we can improve our communication is just by being authentic. What do you mean by that?
So I agree with everything you just said. We live in technology age, right? And so when we communicate, oftentimes we're not really communicating what we're really feeling. It's anger, frustration, irritation. And so when I say being authentic, it's about really understanding what's underneath those feelings. And it really takes time to understand that and then to be vulnerable and actually communicate those deeper emotions rather than just the anger and frustration that is so rampant.
How do we best do that? How can we communicate our feelings authentically?
The best way is to kind of do it with yourself first before you actually do it with a partner. So it's something called an emotional check-in, where you basically, you can even find a list of emotions if you don't know a lot of them, and go through and say, okay, well, I'm feeling whatever the emotion is, and then explain why you're feeling that. A lot of times we just go through the day, we don't really check in with ourselves on what we're really feeling because we're busy with work, school, kids, whatever it may be. So taking that time for self-reflection, and then as you get comfortable with that, it's easier to share that with someone else.
I agree, and I feel like I'm 100% on board with that. When I'm upset or something's irritating me, I have to kind of step away and think about it and dissect it and say, what am I feeling and why? So I can go back and talk to my husband and say, this is what's happened. Now, he's very different because sometimes that makes him anxious. He's like, why are you walking away? What, like, what's happening? Like, and he wants to fix it right there. So what can you do in that situation when you've got somebody who needs space and somebody who wants to fix it right there, which I think is a lot of couples?
Yes. So you're talking about that. We have the retreater and the pursuer, that dynamic. And so when you're walking away, it's okay to walk away from a conversation as long as you communicate why you're walking away and then make time to reconnect. That's the main issue, is that people are great at saying, hey, I need space, but then they never come back to that conversation, so nothing really gets resolved. So if you can reassure your partner, who is kind of the pursuer and like, I just want to get it, I want to fix it right now, let them know that you need space, but you're going to come back to that conversation and reassure them that you're not just avoiding them.
I think that that is a great point, because that can really trigger people that have fears or anxiety around that. Oh, they're avoiding me. They don't care about this. And I think readdressing that shows you care just as much as they do. You just handle it a little bit differently or need a little bit more time. So you also say being vulnerable is important. What do you mean by that?
It kind of goes back to the authenticity, but in order to have effective communication, it's important that you get to the root and actually, so for instance, rather than yelling and saying, I'm angry, the vulnerability comes when you say, I've been hurt. I've been hurt by you. And this is why. It takes a lot more effort to bring that to the surface. But that's really what the communication needs to be about. Not about the anger or the frustration, but about the hurt and how you've been hurt and trying to resolve that.
And I think nobody can argue with how you feel. That's something that somebody can't argue with. If you're using those I statements and you're saying, this is how I feel, they can't say, well, that's not how you feel. Right? If you're being honest and being vulnerable, I think that also builds a trust with your spouse or with your significant other. So I've had a lot of friends that come to me. I've actually had a few that are like, oh, do you guys ever fight? We fight every single day. And I'm like, it's normal to fight or to have disagreements or to argue, right? Is there a way to avoid conflict?
That's the golden question. Yes, there are some techniques that you can do for sure. One thing is called a gentle startup. So when you come into a conversation, we talked about kind of saying, this is how I'm feeling. So start with I statements. That's one thing. And then also expressing what you're needing in that moment rather than criticism. Because usually when we start something, it's like, well, you never do this, or you always do this, and that's why I'm irritated. But really, there's a need there that's not being met or fulfilled. So if you come into a conversation and say, you never do the dishes, that's going to lead your partner to want to be defensive. But if you come into the conversation saying, you know, I'm really overwhelmed right now, and I need some extra help, and then your partner really has no reason to become defensive, and then they can actually say, well, how can I meet that need? And you can say, well, doing the dishes would be awesome.
And that's a great, again, going back to those I versus you statements. I feel this way versus you did this or you never do this. And also those definitive words, those always, never, those can hurt people automatically when you kind of box them in like that, right? So how do we increase our understanding with our partners? I think that's a huge key there, to not only be vulnerable and express our own feelings, but then how do we understand when they become vulnerable to us?
When you're starting a conversation, I think it's important to ask yourself, what is the purpose of this interaction? And oftentimes we feel like we have to prove our point or make sure that our partner knows what we're feeling, rather than saying, I'm coming to this with I want to understand my partner better. And when we come to that, like to the conversation with that attitude and approach, it's a lot easier to understand them when that's our actual intent and not just to prove a point.
And I guess some of that comes down to just listening. Is there a way to be a better listener to our partners?
So this is actually a skill I use often with clients, and it's called reflection. And so we tend to just, when someone says something to us, we tend to maybe have a rebuttal, or we want to respond with how we're feeling, our opinion on what they said, rather than taking a pause and reflecting or mirroring what they just said. That's a really great way to help someone know that you're listening to them. And you're also kind of checking in with yourself saying, okay, do I really understand what they're saying?
Okay, so you're listening and then you have to regurgitate what they just said, which is really good for me because I swear my mind can go off in a million different directions while they're talking. And he's like, you're not listening. I'm like, oh, I am. I was. Wasn't I? We have more great advice coming up next. We'll hear about some common issues that face couples today and how to manage them. Stick with us here on Lifestyle with Leanna Tan.
We're back with Leanna Tan and ways to improve your everyday lifestyle on KID News Radio 106.3 at 92.1.
We are back with Leroy and Colleen, who are telling us how wacky hats are helping them find everlasting love. You were just telling me how you have over 100 hats you've handcrafted each. How do you store those? What do you do with them all?
We have a great big shed out back that we just put them in a plastic bag and label them, and so we know what hats are in there.
And this hot glue is their best friend. These hats are amazing. I mean, the ones they have on right now are just glitz and glam. They've got even like little plush dolls on top of them. They've got blinking lights. I mean, these aren't just like hats that they glued on something. It's like it's a little city on top of their head. I think it's amazing. And it's definitely an eye catcher. You said that sometimes people give you the stink eye at the store or when you're around. Not everybody loves the hats you guys make.
Yeah. Some of the places we go dancing, one time I met this gentleman. He was cranky looking. And so I said, hi, how are you? And he says, why are you wearing that stupid hat? He didn't say hi or nothing. He just said, why am I wearing that stupid hat? And I says, your girlfriend's staring at me. I think one of us is stupid. Which one is it? I says, I can talk to every single lady in here because they're all looking at me. How about you? And so he quit talking to me after that.
That shut him up.
One thing that most men don't do is open the door and close it and help you up from your chair. He always does that and helps me with my coat on.
Well, that's some great advice for these Valentine's Day daters.
Yes, often Colleen will, like when I got a new hip a couple years ago, and Colleen had to wait for me to come around the car. And so it took me quite a while to get all the way around the car, but she always waited for me to get around. She gave me a chance to be a gentleman.
Now that is lasting love. That's the kind of love I want, the one that lasts long and it defies time.
And love is not always convenient, but it's always patient.
I guess along with that, what do you have to say to people that don't really believe in love? I think a lot of young people are scared of commitment, are scared of love in general, and they don't even really know if that exists or what that is. What are your thoughts on that?
I think love is earned. It can be giving, but it's earned as well. You have to give a lot of love to receive a lot of love. I don't just tell her, I show her.
You both have had past relationships, correct?
Yes.
So does that scare you? I think a lot of people that have had past relationships would be very fearful of jumping into a whole new life with somebody else. Is that something that scares you?
Well, it did me because my husband and I had been married for 41 years and he passed away in 2014. I didn't do much of anything for like 4 years before I met Leroy. But I knew I wanted someone who respected me as a woman, and I wasn't going to put up with anything less. Plus, my age was my biggest concern with me, because I have children, too, that are almost as old as Leroy is. And when I told them about it, they were a little bit, Mom, are you robbing the cradle? Yes. But I can't help the way I feel, because he made me feel like a woman and a person that I wanted to respect. I knew he'd respect me for who I was.
How has the other person changed your life?
Colleen has taught me to be happy again. I was alone for 12 years, and when I met a partner in crime, everything changed. All of a sudden, we're doing stuff together, we get to share things, and there's a reason for the things I'm doing. I get to make her happy, and she makes me happy, and what a wonderful, wonderful time. How about you, Colleen?
I'm a widow, and I'm just not very forward like he is, and so that's one thing I had to do, is if I wanted to be with Leroy, I had to wear these hats.
You guys said that you have a lot of fun together, and I know that hats aren't the only things you do together. What other things do you do to enjoy every day?
We volunteer over at the Gables on Wednesdays.
We look on Facebook on the events page, and we find any place to dance between Jackson and Lava Hot Springs, and if there's music, we go dance. A lot of times when we get done dancing, people start clapping, and they're so happy. Just because we love each other and we're kind to each other, and we can all do it. It's free. All you got to do is decide to be kind to somebody else or be happy. If you're happy, it touches every single person around you. And if you're not happy, that touches them in a different way.
I think that you two are a great example of living life to the fullest and knowing how to make the most out of each day. How do you do that? How do you find the joy in every single day? Because I think that you guys just look like you're having the time of your life every day.
It's completely attitude. We all decide every day if we're going to be mad, happy, sad, glad. What are you? It's your fault, whatever you are. Some people say, oh, they make me so mad. No, you decide to be mad about whatever they did. But you decide what you are. We decide to be happy every day. That's our obvious choice. We want to be happy. And so we make people around us happy. That makes us happy. We want to be happy. I love Colleen. She loves me. We're having fun every single day.
I love it. And now you are fiancés. So was there an official proposal that happened?
Yes, there was. Well, we go to this doctor over. His name's Dr. Daryl Moss. He knew we'd been going together for quite some time. So one day when we were over there, my ring, he ordered my ring and it came in. And so he says, why don't I propose to you right here? So we did, over at Dr. Daryl Moss's office.
He was our witness.
He was our witness.
He really said yes.
I said yes to him.
So you were at the doctor's office and you proposed?
Yes. He was going to stick me with needles. He's an acupuncturist. And so before he got to me, I knelt down on one knee and asked her to marry me. And she started crying and she said yes. And so then he stuck me with needles for making her cry.
Wait, so you both went to a doctor's appointment together, and before you got stuck with the needles, you knelt down and popped the question. Well, that is memorable. Do you think you're going to wear hats on your wedding day?
I think we have to. We've been told that we're icons of the city, so you get what you give. If you're happy and you make other people happy, they make you happy far more than you'll ever make them. And so you get what you give. If your life is sad, you're doing something wrong. You need to stop, change whatever you're doing, and find out what makes you happy and start doing that.
I love that. That's amazing. Doing service every day, making hats every day, dancing, like weekly. What a better way to spend life, to find the joy in life. For those people who are a little hesitant about Valentine's Day coming up, it might not be the happiest time for them. Maybe they don't have a whole lot of hope in love or relationships. What advice do you have for them?
Start today. A lot of people tell us, they come up to us and say, when we get to be your age, we want to be like you. What are you waiting for? Once it becomes your habit, it's just natural. You just do it automatically. Just like you're doing whatever you do right now, automatically. You've taught yourself to be mad or sad or angry or hurt. We all have different things that we go through in our lives. But we can change that at any moment we choose to. And Colleen decided to quit being lonely and sitting home doing crossword puzzles. And I stopped being lonely and doing, I was doing volunteer work, but I was all by myself. And I decided to be with Colleen, and now I'm happy. She makes me happy. I make her happy. Together, we make so many people happy.
What I've learned from you today is it's never too late for a fresh start, and that in relationships, you wear a lot of hats, but if you wear them together, it's so much better. Next up, it's just me and you here for A Little Tangent.
Showing you a better way of living. Welcome back to Lifestyle with Leanna Tan on KID News Radio 106.3 at 92.1.
Today, in tribute to Valentine's Day, we are talking all about everlasting love. We are back with licensed mental health counselor Jake Pearson, who is walking us through ways we can improve our relationships to create everlasting love.
I think everybody thinks, oh, my marriage or my relationship is the worst. You know, I have all these problems and everyone else's is perfect, right? But that's not the case. Everybody has issues. So what are some common issues that you see now with that our couples are facing?
I mean, besides communication, I feel like that's a huge issue. Couples aren't spending enough time together. And you may think, well, that's weird because, you know, during the pandemic, but they really weren't connecting. They were spending physical, like they were in the same space, but couples are not interacting as much as they should be. So they're really not, they don't really know a lot of what their partner, like their hobbies, their interests. They don't do a lot of activities that are fun. It's kind of just like we go to work, we come home, we eat, we sleep.
So you're saying make some specific designated time where you find something fun that you like to do. And how do you make that fun? I think sometimes people say, well, we went out and did something fun, but I didn't have fun. I just thought it was meh.
So I think it can feel sometimes like, oh, well, we're only doing what my partner likes to do. So one thing that I suggest is just coming up with a plan like, okay, you know, this date night, we're going to do something that you really enjoy. The next time we're going to do something that I really enjoy. So there's kind of a balance. And I think if you can understand that, like, the goal or the intent of going on a date isn't about sole purpose of you having fun, but it's about connecting with your partner. And so even if it's not, you know, your favorite thing to do, if you can focus on, okay, I'm going to work hard to connect with my partner during this time, then I think it will inevitably create a better experience overall.
And reading between the lines, I think what you're really saying is there's a lot of selflessness that goes into this. In order to make a relationship work, it's all about selflessness. And so you're really, yes, you want to have fun yourself, but if you're focusing on that the whole time, you're not going to have fun because you're constantly thinking about, I'm not having fun. But if you're thinking about the other person and really understanding them, like we've been saying, why do they like this activity? How do they think? I think you'll learn a lot more about them.
I think another key or another problem that I'm seeing is the prioritization of your relationship. There are so many things that come before marriage or a relationship. And so this is part of making that a priority is penciling in date nights. And nothing needs to come before that.
You've given us so much good advice, and there's love in the air. There is love out there, and you can cultivate love in your own relationship if you take some of these steps and techniques. So if people want to get some more help from you, if they loved these tips that they heard, maybe they want some professional counseling from you, where can they go?
The private practice that I'm working at is called Search Points Counseling. The website is searchpoints.com. And then we have an Instagram account, searchpoints_counseling.
Wonderful. Instagram or the website at searchpoints. Go find Jake Pearson right there, licensed mental health counselor. He does individual and couples counseling. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Now that we have heard some incredible advice on how to create everlasting love, we are going to meet a couple that has done just that. This couple has become icons all over town. You can spot them from a mile away, not just because of their radiating personalities and their love for each other, but also because of their wacky hats. I really couldn't help but pull them into the studio. They just are such an interesting couple. I was so happy. I walked into the studio and I saw them just beaming at me in their matching shirts, flashing hats, and a basket full of candy. Leroy Duenas and Colleen Baker join me today to teach us how to live life and find everlasting love. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Tell me, how long have you known each other?
3 years, 4 months, and 4 days. 3 days, sorry.
Wow, you're counting. Do you mind me asking your age?
I am 60 years old. How old are you, Colleen?
I'm 78.
And so, did you feel like it was time for some fresh love?
My family thought I was crazy. Colleen's family thought she was crazy. They thought I was too young, and my family thought she was too old. And nobody knew but her and I that we were perfect for each other.
And how did you know you were perfect for each other? What does that even mean?
We had a lot of things in common. Colleen liked me, and I liked me. So we got along great.
Okay, so how did you meet?
We met at a regional LDS singles conference. Colleen was in the audience that day, and I happened to give a dozen roses out randomly to different ladies that were there, and she received one. That very day, I had three women come up to me and ask me to marry them. And I had to say, no, sorry, I can't. I don't even know your name.
So three women that day asked you to marry them, but you still that day found your future spouse.
Yeah.
She, just wasn't them.
She was out there with her date, but she was supposed to be with me. She just didn't know it.
So who made the first move here?
Colleen. I went to a dance called a Harvest Ball in Shelley, and Colleen came up and asked me to dance 5 times. Well, I kept asking Colleen, I says, isn't your date going to get mad? And she says, no, I'm not. It's not my date. And I said, well, it keeps giving me the stink eye and looking at me. And she came back 5 different times. And 5 times I asked her, isn't your date going to get mad? And she kept saying, no, I'm not with him. And then I followed her home, and I opened the door, and she got out and she said, Leroy! I said, oh, sorry. I just came to get your phone number, and I'll leave. And she looked at her date, and he looked at her, and she gave me her phone number, and then I left.
So you were a little Twitter-pated and a little scared.
She thought I was a stalker. She told her kids, and they thought I was a stalker. But I was just Twitter-pated. I forgot to get that darn phone number, and I didn't know if I'd see her again, so I followed her home so I could get it.
Yeah, so tell me, how long did they think that you were a stalker, and how did it go with the kids? You said they were kind of hesitant about this whole idea of mom starting a new life with another man.
Yeah, I met her son first. We went to Chuck-O-Rama, and her son met us there, and he was sitting across the table giving me the stink eye. He's about 3 years younger than I am, and he was giving me the stink eye and looking at me through his eyebrows like, who are you and what are you doing with my mother? And so we got to know each other, and now we're wonderful friends. And her daughter, when I first met her, her daughter said, so just what do I call you? And she's about 2 years younger than me. And I said, well, from now on, I guess you can just call me Daddy. And that upset her. Boy, she took off like a volcano. She was upset. And she said, never on this green earth will I ever call you Daddy. And today she's very kind to me. But that day she was upset and left like she had her tail on fire.
Tell me about the hats. What do the hats have to do with your relationship?
Well, we started making hats about 3 years ago. We were working for a friend of ours that owns a pumpkin patch. And he said, if everybody could dress up and come to the pumpkin patch, we'll probably do better. So I made a pumpkin hat. And when I wore my hat over there, all these little kids come up and wanted to hug me and wanted to wear my hat, and their moms wanted to take pictures, and that was our very first hat. And then after that, we just started making hats together, and the more hats we make, the better we get at it. And it's just amazing. It's like we're infamous in Idaho Falls. People know who we are just because we wear a crazy hat. Yeah, it grew into a weekly event. Colleen and I go shopping together, and we look on Amazon, we look at garage sales, we look everywhere we go, and we find things that we can put on hats.
We have over 100 hats each.
Oh, that is really awesome. Well, when we come back, we're not only going to hear about how they make their hats, but also what else they do with their life to create everlasting love and everlasting happiness. They are the ultimate example of these. Stay tuned here on Lifestyle.